The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. Austin, Texas.
Hey guys, this is Note to Self, and I'm your host, Peyton Sarton. From Q&As and breakup tips to simply navigating every stage of life, Note to Self is a space to get messy, explore new perspectives, and ultimately empower yourself and others. Grab some wine or a mocktail, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. All right. Hi, guys. Welcome back to Note to Self. My name is Peyton. If you're new here, welcome to Note to Self for the first time. I'm so happy to have you. I am super cozy this episode. I am like curled up in this chair with my fuzzy socks on and my sweats on because you know what? This week has been the fucking worst. You know, when you're just like, you're just not having a good time and there's something to complain about at all times. It's the opposite of lucky girl syndrome. And I really do like, we'll talk about that at the end of the episode. I need to get back into that mindset because everything that can go wrong has gone wrong. And for those of you who don't know, I am moving in about 13 days. My movers show up and there's just so much shit going on. I got a flat tire, then the tire couldn't be fixed. Then I had to order new tires, which is so fucking expensive. The person who was supposed to come help me ship my car or whatever backed out. I'm so behind on everything life-wise. Something is happening with my eye. I like have like some kind of allergic reaction. I hope it's not like a sty forming. I've never had one of those, but my eye is looking pretty fucking crazy right now. I, like an idiot, put on like a little mascara today just to film, but for the past couple of days, it's just been like hurting so bad. Just little things like that have been horrible. I've also never been uglier in my entire life. Like, I am a fucking troll. When I look at myself in the mirror, I don't know who that is. I don't know if it's me becoming a certain age. Oh, also I started tretinoin recently and I'm doing like the tretinoin purge. I have not had acne like this in, I guess, since my mid 20s. So that's been like, what, 4 or 5 years. I want to kill someone, to be quite honest, if I wasn't going to get put in jail, if I could fake kill someone, I would, with all of my anger. I hate to start off on a horrible note, but if you're having a time, like, y'all just know those weeks. I was on the phone with Joe yesterday and I had to like get off the phone because I was like, I am going to be the biggest downer of all time right now. Winnie is regressing in her potty training. Okay. She's peeing and pooping freely in the house. Thank God I'm moving and getting rid of the rugs. Okay, like I've already rolled up one rug and gotten rid of it because it's disgusting. And I don't know what to do. So Winnie is definitely, in the next couple of months, being shipped off to a boarding training facility when I go on like my bigger, I'm going to go on a trip for probably like 2-ish weeks. So I might board and train her for 2 to 3 weeks. She's going to come back perfectly because otherwise training her has been so easy. Like the sit, stay of it all, healing. She just is very treat motivated. So it's easy because she's always ready to be trained because she always wants treats. So the peeing and pooping though, that has been an interesting time. Also, the Belgian Malinois on her is becoming more and more apparent as time goes on. So the training is great. The energy level, I feel so bad because I'm just one person. So I try to bring her to doggy daycare as much as possible. Into her dog park that she likes to go to, Dog People, where she is a member and I am the guest, as I've talked about before, very Los Angeles. I wanted to go today, but I didn't have time. Anyway, it's just from all sides right now, just absolutely everything is just going to shit. I will say Joe has been the best and the most helpful boyfriend of all time. With work stuff, I just have been extremely overwhelmed and I'm kind of moving into possibly taking a break from doing like sponsored content so I don't have like a bunch of deadlines because I'd like to get back in touch with why I like to create content in the first place and sharing the things that I love. I will say I do share like a lot of the sponsored content I do. That's stuff that I love, but it's always like there's always not really like a script, but there's always like a brief to follow and they want something specific. And you're just, you can't be creative and maybe share products like you'd want to share it. For example, I won't get specific examples, but there are some products that I genuinely fucking love that have made my friends try and they've all loved the product. But when I go to promote the product on social media and to do like a sponsored post, it seems fake because there's an ad. It's like the whole setup of the reel or the photo or the story is so manufactured because you have to follow the rules essentially because that's what they're paying for. And it feels like my ROI isn't as high as it normally is with like just regular linking, which makes sense, but also it just fucking sucks. So I'd like to get back to like sharing things that I love and the time frame that I want to without due dates and deadlines and all these things and previews and sending analytics and then like sending the analytics from the post after and shooting the post in a certain way and looking this way and wearing this color and having your nails. I don't want to do that. Okay. I just want to live my fucking life and share it with you guys. That was the point of this from the beginning. So I'm going to do a little reset, hopefully with content here soon. Once I move to Milwaukee, Joe was nice enough to be like, why don't you just chill the fuck out for a fucking second? Don't, you know, go from a place of scarcity where the money's never going to come back. If you stop doing a lot of sponsored posts, it'll be okay. And I always have note to self, and my advertisers on here are great, very easy to work with. Big fan. So I guess I won't be like completely not working, but mostly just getting back to why, what I like and what I love to share and how I love to share it, for example. Okay. That was my life update. I'm sorry, that was negative. I had to get that out before we start today's episode. Today's episode, we're going to skip content corner too, because really the only person that I've newly followed is a person I already follow. I guess we'll do a little mini content corner. Brittany Broski's secret account called Secret Brittany on TikTok. Hilarious. It's one of the only things that's gotten me through the last couple of weeks of just like one thing after a fucking another happening that's super annoying. I just need a laugh. Okay. So Secret Brittany on TikTok, also her podcast I listen to. She's just so funny. She's just so naturally funny. The things she says, the phrases she uses, I love it. Like, we don't have the same exact humor, but I get her humor and I'm a fan. All right. So today's episode, we're going to talk about living alone. And I'm going to give 10 tips for those of you who might be living alone, who might feel lonely or some type of way about it. Okay. I've been living alone now for the past year. And prior to that, I did live with roommates. So I lived with Joe like over a year ago now. And then over a year and a half ago now, we lived together for a year. And then I lived with roommates prior to that, one roommate. And then prior to that, I lived with multiple roommates. And then in college, I lived with there was like five of us in a house. I briefly lived in college by myself too. I had a dog though, so I didn't feel so alone. Anyway, my point is, that was also only for 6 months. My point is, I've had some time to live with roommates. I've had some time to live with a significant other, and I've had some time to live alone. So I've dabbled in all of them. So I have some tips for living alone. And I think that I'm going to take a strong stance here, but I think it's really important, if possible, for everyone to live alone at some point. I think it teaches you a lot about yourself. I think it makes you feel self-reliant. It quiets everything down around you, and you really spend some time on your own and in your own brain. I know some people might be a little bit scared of that, but I think it's good to face something that you're scared of when it comes to like just being alone with your thoughts, because then that can tell you where you need to like make adjustments to improve your life, obviously. Otherwise, you're going to go on just ignoring yourself for your whole life, and then you're going to wake up and that's when like a midlife crisis happens, because you're like, wait a minute, why didn't I listen to myself or think about what I actually want, and why did I just like ignore all my problems for so long? I'm speaking from experience. I'm not in a midlife crisis, but I've done that, like especially quarter life crisis. College, I ignored all my fucking problems because I was constantly surrounded by people. And I got out of college and had like a little mini mental breakdown. Part of it was because of the timing of, you know, like changing, going to a new place. I moved to Los Angeles from Texas. All my friends were constantly together. I wasn't there. But a lot of it really was my inability to face myself for all of those years, because I didn't have to, because I was never alone. So I think living alone is really important, and it can be incredibly empowering. And one of my best friends, who I've mentioned a lot on this podcast, Laurel, was a petroleum engineering major in college. This is relevant, by the way. That's not just a random fact. So because of that, her parents were like, listen, you got to buckle down. She went to Texas A&M, which at the time was the best petroleum engineering program in the country, says my grandfather. He has been in oil since he was 20 something, and he doesn't even like A&M. So that's why I believe him. So she went to A&M for that. And her parents were like, all right, well, you're living alone. And our freshman year, we all kind of lived in this like kind of like communal dorm kind of place that was off campus. It was really nice. We loved it. It's called Callaway House. But after that, Laurel always lived off campus alone while like most of us lived in a big house, like with a bunch of girls. And she has been doing this since she was 19. She's been living alone. Now she's married and she had just had her first baby, but she didn't even move in with her husband until like 3 years ago. So Laurel's, she has some experience living alone in her late teens and then throughout her early to mid 20s. So I consulted her. I was like, what would you say to someone who is worried about living alone or gets really lonely living alone or has any kind of anxiety about that experience? And this is not coming from a place of like safety. Okay, like I do totally get the anxiety of living alone safety wise because I feel that very much. I have a dog for that purpose. And I live in a place that I feel to be pretty safe. So it was definitely a place that was definitely a primary concern when it came to finding a place to live because I knew I was going to be living alone. But this is more the mindset. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little bullet pointed pep talk from Laurel to you. She's one of my many, if I have a problem in my life, I'm going to consult Laurel, which is, you all know, I love to bring that to you on the podcast. My people who I go to when I need help. So here's her pep talk to you if you are currently living alone or planning on living alone. Okay. She says, first of all, it's all about the lens you view it through. Don't let it be a sad, lonely thing. Let it be a complete flex on your independence as a woman. To be able to afford to live alone and support yourself is completely badass and something to be proud of. Next bullet point. Time spent living alone is absolutely excellent for establishing healthy habits such as cleanliness, organization, cooking, household chores, making your bed, doing your laundry, etc. You have no one to blame for a messy home except yourself, and you have the whole place to yourself to get it right and tight through all the way you like it. And then the next one, she says, it's just an overall great life lesson in rent, mortgage, bills, and learning how to budget and prioritize and have financial balance and responsibility. And then lastly, she said, it's just fucking fun. You can be naked when you want, get stoned or drink when you want, watch and listen to what you want, be a weirdo when you want, and you have zero rules or supervision and you get to just be. All right. So that's Laurel's testament to living alone. My friend that lived alone for the longest time. Also going to Laurel's apartment in college, I would like leave our like disaster of a house, just like girling everywhere, just stuff everywhere, just... It was really fun to be communal and I loved always having someone there. Even I'm a person that loves to be alone and I got like addicted to always having someone there. I would go over to Laurel's house and her place is literally pristine. There is not a hair out of fucking place. Laurel's wild and fun and crazy and all of that stuff. But when it comes to like organization and all that, she's so clean. I was always like, damn, this is kind of like you're kind of living life over here. She was living like a nice apartment building in college, like by herself. We were all just like, wow, Laurel's really got it together. So that's the pep talk. If you needed a pep talk for living alone, there you go. Today's episode is sponsored by Olive and June. So Olive and June provides all things nails that you need from home. They have a number of systems. Their manicure system is like at least LA renowned. Everyone in Los Angeles knows about the Olive and June Manny system. So this is everything you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. They have salon grade tools designed just for you to DIY. You can customize this mani system with your choice of 6 polishes, and the polish they have doesn't chip and it lasts 7 days or more, which I love because you could just do like a once a week little refresh if you want. It breaks down to just $2 a manicure with the Olive and June mani system. The one that I use the most though are the press-ons. I love a longer nail. It's really hard for me to grow out my nails. So I was typically going into the salon every couple weeks, every few weeks to get my nails done. And I just hate going to the nail salon so much. I also just like having the freedom to do them whenever I can fit it into my schedule. So I have been loving the Olive & June's press-ons. There are so many options color-wise and design-wise that you can use as well. They also have options for like extra short, medium length. Like they just have so many. I really like the extra short because I find it hard to like type and do my job and stuff with longer nails. I'm also just not really used to super long nails. So I love that I can personalize that experience. So visit oliveandjune.com/note to self for 20% off your first Manny system. That's oliveandjune.com/note to self for 20% off your first Manny system. Today's episode is sponsored by Squarespace. So if you didn't know, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online, which we all know is important when it comes to creating a business in this day and age. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time all in one place and all on your terms. So getting started with Squarespace is so easy because Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own online course, for example. We'll start with that one. Start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with the powerful Fluid Engine Editor. Create engaging content your audience will love, then simply add a paywall and set the price. You can charge a one-time fee or sell subscriptions. You can turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. They also have an online store, so you can sell your products on an online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. Squarespace offers amazing analytics, so you can use insights to grow your business. Learn where your site visits and sales are coming from and analyze which channels are most effective. Improve your website and build a marketing strategy based on your top keywords or your most popular products and content. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/note to self to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's www.squarespace.com/note to self to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. So let's move into my 10 tips for living alone. These are in no particular order, but these are the first tips that came to me, and they're just literally happened to be 10. So I didn't have to even think of 10. It was just the perfect number. So these are going to be ranging from like, so how you spend your time, to how you decorate, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so we already got the mindset portion in. Thank you so much, Laurel, for that. I need to have her on the podcast immediately. I probably will this summer because I'm going to go to Houston and she'll be on the podcast. She has a lot. She's amazing. I love Laurel. She's helped me in my life a lot, so I cannot wait to share more of that with you. But let's start these top 10 tips. So tip number one, I need you, when you're living alone, to make your space so you-coded and make it such a priority. Now, you can do this on a budget, but I want you to think of the things. I want you to go on Pinterest. I want you to look at a lot of inspiration. I want you to dial it down to exactly how you want your apartment to look. Okay. And I want you to prioritize how you want to feel in that apartment. For this last apartment that I've been living in for the past year, I had lived in more of like high-rise buildings, and then I was living just like an Airbnb in Beverly Hills with Joe pre us breaking up. And then this was my apartment, in my opinion, to get really cozy in. I wanted to feel cozy and warm and comfortable. I wanted to feel more like a California bungalow rather than like the high-rise contemporary look that I was kind of used to at that point. So I had that in mind when decorating. And you can decorate on a budget for sure. There's also ways you could like rent furniture. I would look at some of those online because it depends on where you live, where you can rent. But there's some really good options for that, for like monthly rentals. And then obviously companies like Wayfair, there's so many options now that you can look up just literally Google image searching stuff. But get on Pinterest, figure out how you want to feel, make the aesthetic match that feeling, and really prioritize getting that done, because then you're going to feel put together in your space. Also, when I say make the space you, bring in your little happy thing. So for me, it was my real like happy little wall is this wall of books that I have. And there aren't even books that I have read all of them. There's just books that I am very interested in. Some of them I have read. And I just have some of my favorite books on that wall. And I feel like that represents me really well. So I love that little, my little mini bookshelf. I really like Kelly Wurstler. And I feel like for the vibe I was going for, the cozy, warmer, I don't have as much light in my place. So it's very like cozy vibes. A lot of low light lamps, etc. I went for the Kelly Wurstler look. I like to kind of decorate differently everywhere, though. I think that this next place that we're going to be in Milwaukee is again more of a high rise look. So we'll go a different direction with that. I also don't have any furniture, really. I'm going to move some stuff, but I don't have like a couch or any kind of like living room furniture to sit on. So I'm going to have to figure that out by the time that we get there. Another thing you need to do is bring in like the scents that you like as well. So like I have my little Pura diffusers and I have one in my kitchen, which kind of goes into like the larger area of my apartment. And then I have one in the bathroom. Each of the Pura things has like two dispensers and you can hook it up on your app. I have a discount code actually for that. If you go into my, like the link in my profile on my Instagram or on my TikTok, you can scroll down to like brands and you can get like $6 off or something or like free scents. I don't know what promotion they're doing right now, but anyway, I love my Pura. I love that I can control it on an app. I love that I can switch it up with intensity and scents and all of that stuff. They have so many options. And for me, it makes me feel really at home. So anything that's going to make you feel at home, do that. When it comes to your bed, make it the comfiest, coziest bed of all time. I have my lamps. I put in those like colored light fixture or light bulbs. So when I go to sleep, I change it to red lights. Just these little things just make me feel so comfy and cozy in my own house. And I really prioritized that when I was moving in because I knew post Joe and I breaking up, obviously, if y'all are new here, Joe and I broke up and then we got back together like how many months ago? Technically like 4 or 5. The getting together process before that was a few months. So, or getting back together, I guess. So there was a little while there that I was like, this is my rom-com, just my boyfriend and I just broke up place. So I was really prioritizing comfort. So whatever you need to prioritize, do that, prep for it. And if you're currently living in your place right now and you want to switch it up, do it. Do some like furniture rearranging. Just make yourself happy in there. Okay. And I want you to just start with how you want to feel first and then go from there. All right. Number two, have living things in your space. I think this is really important. So I started with plants. I got mine from, what's it called? Like The Sill or like Easy Plant. I can't remember which one. There's a couple different places you can go for this. And you can look at all the different types of like plants by size, by the way they potted the plant. I think on some of them, you can definitely aggregate ones that are, you know, pet friendly and things like that too. So, and they'll also tell you like where to put it in your apartment light wise. I think the one I got is Easy Plant because you can just fill the little chamber with water and it like just kind of waters itself. So it's just foolproof. I am so bad at keeping plants alive and I've been able to keep these alive. So I started with plants. Obviously, I graduated to getting a puppy, which I wouldn't recommend if you're not ready for it. Obviously, she takes up all my time and I can't really like, I was just talking to a friend who wanted to go on this like big European trip this summer. And I'm like, dude, I literally can't. I have Winnie and Joe's going to be playing a game every single day and he's going to be out of town a lot. So like I can't rely on him to watch Winnie. So I'm just saying dogs are a lot, maybe a cat if you're looking for an animal, maybe a goldfish, something alive, something breathing and moving. And for me, plants worked really well for the majority of the time I've been in this apartment. It just makes you feel good. Makes you feel like you're not as alone. All right. Number three, schedule in time with friends and schedule in time, like specific time spent out of the apartment. So weekly, I have my schedule of things to look forward to kind of outside of work. Sometimes they do correspond with work, but I think it's really important to get yourself out of your apartment because for me, at least a depressive girly, it's easy for me to just like lay around all day. And I think getting out of my apartment makes me really excited to go back to my apartment and like relax. But if I'm at my apartment all day, then I'm just like, bleh, like just sad and depressed. So I would schedule an intentional time outside of the apartment, especially obviously with friends, family members, your significant other, if you guys don't live together, and or spend like alone time outside the apartment as well. I'll do this with Winnie. I'll go to the dog park or something like that. Just make sure that I'm out of the house a lot of the day because I also work from home. So I need to get out of the house. All right. Number four, schedule your nights in. So like actually, again, on your calendar, I use Google Calendar. I love it. On your calendar, schedule nights in with yourself. So like I'll have my scheduled nights out where I'm going to dinner or going to an event for work or going to a friend's house, whatever it is that I'm looking forward to. My friends and I like to have something to look forward to throughout the week. So sometimes we'll do like dinner on Wednesday or I'll go to Iman's if she's making like lunch one day or something. But schedule your nights in as well and hold to that schedule. Like that's your time with yourself. It's almost like you're taking yourself on a date, but it's just inside. So you can turn your home into something and a place where you really indulge and treat yourself as well. And also, I'm just a scheduler, if you can't tell. I love a schedule. Okay, number five, this kind of goes along with spending time outside the apartment, but number five is if you can, work outside of your space. So I am just one of those people that I need to have, I compartmentalize really well. And so for me, it makes sense to have certain places where I go to do certain things. By that, I mean, it's really hard for me to work out in my apartment. I have to go somewhere else to work out. Like mentally, I just need to be somewhere else or else I feel like I'm not actually working out well. I've just never been really a home workout girly. I've tried. I'll do it sometimes if I have to. But honestly, it's really hard for me to work out at home. So I need to go somewhere else. Same with work. It's hard for me to concentrate and do really well if I'm not outside my house. That's another reason why I love coming up to Dear Media to record. I could technically record podcasts at home, but there's something about coming into the studio and seeing other human beings instead of just sitting at home all day by myself and then talking to the camera like I do on YouTube already. I like to come in and it's almost like my space to do this. I can get in my mindset to record and then I can leave. And I almost like leave work behind when I do that. We'll see how this goes in Milwaukee because I'm planning on flying back to LA or going to New York to record, though I assume I'll probably record some episodes in Milwaukee in our apartment. But I try to avoid doing that as much as possible, to be honest, because I just feel like I need the separation a little bit. So if you're like me, I mean, not everyone's like this. Some people love to work from home. But for me, I think what's the healthiest is that I get outside of my apartment to work as much as I can. It doesn't always happen, but as much as possible. And then again, it's kind of like when I was saying you schedule time outside of your place, like you kind of get excited to go home and like take the day off and relax instead of just like me working at my dining table and then me just getting up and like wiping it off with Windex because it's glass, but wiping it off with Windex and being like, all right, time to sit here and eat my dinner. Like, I just don't love that. There's something about it just makes me even more depressed. So working outside of the space, this obviously, if you work at a place like at an office or something, that you're easily doing this by yourself anyway. So that's just for really the work from home girlies. Today's episode is sponsored by Quince. So who does not love the good things in life? I feel like Note to Self is all about the little luxuries and attainable luxury and the small things that make us happy. And I mean, let's be honest, I like big luxury as well. Even though I enjoy a little luxury, it doesn't always mean that I can afford it in like a smart way, you know, until I discovered Quince. Quince is my go-to for luxury essentials at affordable prices. Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14-karat gold jewelry, which might be my favorite part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I absolutely love that. My current favorite from Quince that I cannot stop wearing is the 100% organic cotton boyfriend crew sweater. I have it in navy. It comes in a number of colors, though. It fits perfectly. And for the cold weather, especially now that I know for a fact that I'll be moving to Milwaukee, you know, Midwest, I am stocking up on sweaters even more. Just to give you an example of price point, traditionally this sweater would probably retail for about $100. And on Quince, they're selling it for $49.90. Just really great prices. I love how transparent they are. And the product is so good. It feels so luxurious. So give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/Peyton for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Peyton to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Peyton. Number six, I need you to romanticize absolutely everything that you do. And I want you to picture yourself in like a 90s rom-com. You are the star of the rom-com. What would they do? What would one do in that situation? Okay. I mean, I want you to be, this kind of has to do with making the apartment comfy, but I want you to have the most beautiful glassware that you love and the most beautiful like plates that you love. They don't have to be the most expensive. There's actually really great options on Amazon. That's what I have. But I want you to have things that you love that you use every day, like the coffee press that I have, I really like, or the mugs I use, I really like. I want you to buy yourself either a really comfy or really sexy, cute robe that you can wear at the house, because that elevates the experience of everything that you do when you're doing your coffee or making your dinner or whatever it is. I also want you to get some matching pajama sets and matching like comfy sets you can wear at home, because that just elevates the experience as well. Again, these can be found on Amazon. But when I say romanticize everything, I want you to cook for yourself or attempt to do so. Find a recipe, follow it, pour yourself a glass of wine or a canned drink or like whatever mocktail you want in a wine glass or water in a wine glass, and listen to a podcast, do whatever. Cook for yourself and really indulge in that. I think that that's something that I really enjoyed in the beginning of my living alone. Now that I have Winnie, it's hard for me to do a lot of the same things that I did just because she is 8 months old and she's like still fucking crazy. So I do a lot of things really quickly right now just because I'm working and then she's on one all day. So most of my day is just spent trying to get my job done while also making Winnie exhausted, and which is hard to do. So anyway, I was doing that though in the very beginning. I learned to cook some things and some meals that I really liked, specifically steaks. I learned to make a pretty great steak on a cast iron, which I'm actually really proud of, and learned my favorite way to cook chicken. And it's kind of fun to slow down at night and do that. And I romanticize it. I shower, I'm wearing my matching set. I make my cute little dinner for one. I keep the leftovers for later. I'm doing it on a cast iron skillet because I'm a pro, I guess. I have one good knife. Love that one. Killing it. I love my plateware. It feels great. It feels very romantic. Another thing I like to do and romanticize is like a cleaning day. Like I've got my cleaning gloves that I wear. Again, wearing a cute set, obviously. Listening to music, bopping around my apartment, organizing. I feel like if you're organizing or cleaning, a glass of wine, just like it just goes so far. Okay. You don't need to be, I don't drink wine every night of my life. Actually, I haven't had wine at home alone in a while because I just don't have any and I'm too lazy to go to the grocery store. But it does elevate the experience if that's your journey. Another thing you can do, romanticize at home, is like a spa night for yourself. So this could be a night that you plan too. Like you're going to go home and you're going to have a spa night. You're going to do all of the skincare devices. You're going to do the face massage. Maybe you're going to watch a show when you're doing it, or you're just going to lay with your feet up on the wall, which I love to do. Just indulge and have a lovely, beautiful spa night. And then maybe you order in that night. Ugh, what a fucking dream. So there are so many things you can do to make yourself feel like you're treating yourself. And there's something about it that makes me feel less alone. Like it makes me just feel fancy and like kind of like a badass, like Laurel was saying in the beginning. Okay. Number 7, tailor your morning and nighttime routines. Now, this is great because you live alone. So you get to have full control over all of your time. You don't have to have kids yelling at you. They don't need anything from you. You don't have to have men around to watch you do whatever you're doing. You have to have roommates around. You don't have to like kind of entertain or explain yourself, which is really nice in your own home. And I think that this really helps with creating a morning and nighttime routine because you have full control over what you're doing in your time. Except for, of course, if you have a puppy like I do. But I work around her for these things. I still do my nighttime routine of like, I shower, I put on my moisturizer, I do my red light mask, I try to read 10 pages. That doesn't always happen, but I try my best. I try to put my phone down a little bit early. I listen to my affirmations at night. I do my mouth tape. This is all in the 75 Soft episode, which I have been still following. And I think it's just going to be like my normal nighttime routine. But it started off as like an attempt at my version of 75 Soft. I don't know what episode that is, but you guys can just search. If you're on Spotify, scroll all the way to the top and you can search 75 Soft and it'll come up on the episode. So you have the power to tailor these morning and nighttime routines. I think right now, just because I said my nighttime routine, my morning routine. Oh, also in the nighttime routine, I go to bed before midnight, which is big for me because I'm such a night owl typically. And I'm trying to learn to wake up earlier. My morning routine, I wake up slightly earlier than I used to, probably around like 7 a.m. I let Winnie out. I put on some like cozy clothes because I'm always freezing in my house because I don't have great insulation in there and there's no heating. So that's nice. So I do that. I usually go into the kitchen. I'll do my supplements for the morning because I'll take my probiotic on an empty stomach. I do my water and I'll feed Winnie and I'll have my breakfast. I will either go on a walk and walk her around for a little bit first, or I'll just go straight to breakfast. I know I'm supposed to get sunlight in my eyes, but lately I've been trying to do that. Sometimes it's just like kind of annoying. I'll just go out in my backyard for a hot second, but that is something I'm trying to do. It's just hard to get up and like immediately go outside, in my opinion. Anyways, I'll do one of those two things first. I'll either go on a walk first or eat, or I'll eat and then go on a walk. Then I'll have my coffee later and then I'll just get into working. I try to look at my phone as little as possible. And if I can, I'll listen to like some kind of morning meditation or affirmations. I don't actually sit there and like meditate, but I do just like let it play. And while I just like soak it all in and do my little tasks. So really use this time to hone in on a morning and nighttime routine that you like, because you have the freedom to do so right now. All right, number 8, cannot stress this enough. If you're a person who feels lonely, and this might be obvious, but you need to have like a queue of podcast episodes, playlists, your TV shows that you like to have on. When I work from home, if I'm not editing or recording something, I like to put on some kind of like background noise. And typically that is some kind of TV show that I already have watched before. The Office is one that I like to do. The Bachelor I've been doing. That's how I've been watching The Bachelor, is kind of in the background. They'll like clue in for certain things. Though I will say TikTok has like kind of ruined The Bachelor, because now I know what's going to happen if I'm like a second late watching, which I'm always late because I'm always all over the fucking place. So I haven't really watched it actively as much, but I put it on the background. It's an easy thing to watch in the background, and it makes me feel like there's like liveliness going on around me, you know? Podcasts though, I generally have a podcast playing. Some of my favorites are like Creeps and Crimes. It's a Dear Media show. The Bitch Bible, Giggly Squad, Crime Junkie. What Came Next is one that I'm listening to now. What else? Sometimes I just like ones that are like silly, goofy mood podcasts. I don't really need all the information in the world, just because I'm so tired and I don't think I need to know anymore at this point in my life. I was actually thinking about that the other day. This is a little bit of a tangent, but we all know that I'm a misandrist. I think women are just like amazing. And that's usually what people think feminists are. Like, they think women are better than men. Feminists are not. Obviously, feminists think everyone's equal. I think women are better than men. I'm so much worse. Okay. That being said, I have put a hold on over the past like year and a half, put a hold on reading books or actively obtaining knowledge about women, the oppression of women, things that happen to women, stats on things like that, because one, living it fucking sucks and I don't need to know more. And two, it just makes me mad. So I ordered a book recently called When God Was a Woman, and it's one I've been wanting to read for a long time. And it has like the whole, you know, coming together of things I'm interested in, like culture and spirituality, religion, and the plight of womanhood, I guess, or the plight of the modern woman specifically. But I am so scared to start this book because I feel a seething anger in me that I'm trying to quiet so I can live. And I feel like if I know more, I'm going to be more mad. Does anyone get that way? And I don't feel bad saying that about this particular subject, because I am a woman and I have dealt with some really pretty bad things in my life because I'm a woman. So sometimes I'm just like, it's enough to live it. I don't think I need to know more information, because the more I know, the more I want to fucking kill someone yet again. So I have been trying to not have so much information when it comes to podcasts and things like that, though it's topics that I'm interested in and care so much about. But sometimes when I care so much about something, I don't want to share about it. And sometimes I need to take a break because it's kind of emotionally taxing for me. And it makes me literally miserable. So I'm trying to keep information at a hold for right now, because knowing what's happening in the world sometimes, you need to know because it's important, obviously, but sometimes I just need a fucking break for a second. So I'm no longer learning things for the next week or so. Then I'll be back on my learning track soon after I have a little detox. So that's reflected in the podcast I'm listening to right now. I like the happy, funny, put me in a good mood ones. The Broski Report, a great example of this. Half the time I don't really know what she's talking about because she's like a reader. She's on Book Talk. I have no fucking idea what that is. But listening to her talk about it is hilarious to me. So I do listen. If you guys have any other like silly, goofy podcasts, let me know, because I would love to know those. All right. Sorry, that was a bit of a tangent. Number 9. This is one, I know this one's hard because I fucking hate doing this, but getting to know your neighbors. Now, I'm not saying you need to be best friends. So if you live in an apartment, I live in an apartment complex with like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 units. maybe six units. I think it's six. With six units, I've met half my neighbors. I know them well enough to where, like, if I hear a weird thing, I can, like, say something to them. I know a little bit more about the building. I've met the other dogs in the apartment. So, and the people I share my, like, I share essentially, like, a two-car garage with my upstairs neighbors. Yeah, adjacent upstairs neighbors. So I feel like getting to know them has made me feel not only safer, because I feel like we can consult with each other if something's happening around the apartment, which has never happened. Knock on wood. Where's wood? There we go. I don't think that was wood. Someone knock on wood for me. Okay. So far that hasn't happened, but it makes me feel comfortable that if it does, I can contact somebody. Also, you just like feel less alone. This is so weird, but like in my room, one of the walls of my bedroom, the one that I look at when I'm sleeping, like when I go to lay down, the one right in front of me, I share with my next unit neighbors. And there's something about knowing that someone I know is right there. It just makes me feel one, less alone, and two, safer. So there's that for you. We also share like a back patio area. So if I go out there, I can just sit and like if I see someone I know, I can say hi. So I feel less alone. Though I am very introverted and talking to people does make me kind of want to die, I force myself to just like know my neighbors. Okay. And number 10, last but not least, I could have started with this one because I love this one, is host. Make your apartment all cute and then host your friends in it. Because if you make really good memories in this apartment, you'll want to be in it. It'll make you happy to be in there. And hosting and bringing your friends in brings a good energy and a good vibe, and it makes everything feel warmer and cozier and homier. And I love hosting. I cannot wait until we have a house, because I think this will be easier because I'll have all my stuff. My apartment right now, I've had friends over somewhat recently. We had like a girls' night and had girls over before, but I need a slightly more seating. So keep that in mind. I need like little stools or something for people to sit on. But hosting is genuinely, I have kind of revived my excitement for hosting because I really wasn't in my hosting era until somewhat recently. And I just love it. You can go on TikTok, get ideas for hosting, do a little girls' night. Recently, Iman and I did a puzzle and just drank wine, and it was just the most fun little wholesome night. We ordered some pizza. It was just so nice. So hosting is really important, I think, to get that kind of good energy flowing in your apartment, because I feel like even when your friends leave, for me, there's something about it that makes me feel less alone in that apartment. Like I feel like this is my home where I invite my people and the people that I love to have a good time, which makes my experience overall just so much better. So those are my 10 tips for living alone. I hope this was helpful for you guys, because I've gotten this request a couple of times. I just know that not everyone lives alone, so I didn't know like how many people this would really like impact. But if you do live alone, I really hope this helped you guys. And please, if you host some cute nights with your girlfriends, make a little TikTok about it or something and tag me, because I want to see. I've really enjoyed this experience of living by myself. Even as an anxiety girly who has intrusive thoughts, I've really enjoyed the freedom that comes with living alone and the feeling that I have, even though when rent's due every month, I am like, I look at it and like have a little mini heart attack, but I know that I'm getting out of this experience what I'm putting into money-wise, because I'm spending my time really curating my home and my experience for myself. And it makes me feel really, really good about myself. So if you're living alone, I really hope that for you as well. And I know it can be kind of difficult and it can feel kind of lonely, but I think these tips will really help you. So my note to self for this week is to get the fuck out of scarcity mindset and get back into like my lucky girl syndrome of it all and expecting good to happen. Because I think when bad things start happening, just those little annoying things back to back to back to back to back where everything's going wrong, I think it's easy to focus obviously on the wrong, and I've been doing that. So I need to refocus on the things that are going right, because then I think I'll notice a lot more of those things than the things going wrong. But I definitely need that reminder this week, because I got into a literal just like nosedive the last couple of days. I don't know if I'm like PMSing too, that could be it, but I'm just having some kind of weird imbalance, and I also hate everyone and everything. And people are just fucking testing me lately. And the world is testing me lately. So I'm going to do my best. After I get off this mic, this is me saying I'm going to fix my mental after this episode. Okay? I'm done complaining now. Hopefully I'm done complaining. But thank you all so much for listening. I will talk to you guys next week. Thank y'all so much for listening to today's episode. You can catch a new episode of Note to Self every Thursday. Please, please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on any of the good stuff. I always want to hear from you, so please leave a rating and review if you have a sec. Follow Note to Self on social for all the behind-the-scenes action and more info about the show at NTS by PS on Instagram and at Note to Self Pod on TikTok. And I'll talk to y'all next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.